The next LOS is to calculate and interpret ratios used in equity analysis and credit analysis. Valuation ratios are used in analysis for investment in common equity. The most widely used valuation ratio is the price-to-earnings, or P/E ratio, the ratio of the current market price of a share of stock divided by the company's earnings per share. Related measures based on price per share are the price-to-cash flow, price-to-sales, and price-to-book-value ratios. Per-share valuation measures include earnings per share, or EPS. Basic EPS is net income available to common divided by the weighted average number of common shares outstanding. Diluted EPS is a what-if value. It is calculated to be the lowest possible EPS that could have been reported if all firm securities that can be converted into common stock and that would decrease basic EPS if they had been were converted. That is, if all dilutive securities had been converted. Potentially dilutive securities include convertible debt and convertible preferred stock, as well as options and warrants issued by the company. The numerator of diluted EPS is increased by the after-tax interest savings on any dilutive debt securities and by the dividends on any dilutive convertible preferred stock. The denominator is increased by the common shares that would result from conversion or exchange of dilutive securities into common shares. Other per-share measures include cash flow per share, EBIT per share, and EBITDA per share. Per-share measures for different companies cannot be compared. A firm with a $100 share price can be expected to generate much greater earnings, cash flow, EBITDA, and EBIT per share than a firm with a $10 share price. Dividends are declared on a per common share basis. Total dividends on a firm-wide basis are referred to as dividends declared. Neither EPS nor net income is reduced by the payment of common stock dividends. Net income minus dividends declared is retained earnings, the earnings that are used to grow the corporation rather than being distributed to equity holders. The proportion of a firm's net income that is retained to fund growth is an important determinant of the firm's sustainable growth rate. To calculate the sustainable growth rate for a firm, the rate of return on resources is measured as the return on equity capital, or the ROE. The proportion of earnings reinvested is known as the retention rate. The formula for the sustainable growth rate, which is how fast the firm can grow without additional external equity issues while holding leverage constant, is growth rate equals retention ratio times ROE. The calculation of the retention rate is retention rate equals net income available to common minus dividends declared divided by net income available to common, or retention rate equals 1 minus the dividend payout ratio. The dividend payout ratio is dividends declared divided by net income available to common. Some ratios have specific applications in certain industries. Net income per employee and sales per employee are used in the analysis and valuation of service and consulting companies. Growth in same-store sales is used in the restaurant and retail industries to indicate growth without the effects of new locations that have been opened. It is a measure of how well the firm is doing at attracting and keeping existing customers, and in the case of locations with overlapping markets, may indicate that new locations are taking customers from existing ones. Sales per square foot is another metric commonly used in the retail industry. Another set of ratios is used to measure business risk. The standard deviation of revenue, standard deviation of operating income, and the standard deviation of net income are all indicators of the variation in and the uncertainty about a firm's performance. Since they all depend on the size of the firm to a great extent, analysts employ a size-adjusted measure of variation. The coefficient of variation for a variable is its standard deviation divided by its expected value. For example, we can compute the coefficient of variation for sales as the standard deviation of sales divided by mean sales. Other useful coefficients of variation are for operating income and net income. Certainly, different industries have different levels of uncertainty about revenues, expenses, taxes, and non-operating items. Comparing coefficients of variation for a firm across time, or among a firm and its peers, can aid the analyst in assessing both the relative and absolute degree of risk a firm faces in generating income for its investors. Banks, insurance companies, and other financial firms carry their own challenges for analysts. Part of the challenge is to understand the commonly used terms and the ratios they represent. Capital adequacy typically refers to the ratio of some dollar measure of the risk, both operational and financial, of the firm to its equity capital. Other measures of capital are also used. A common measure of capital risk is value at risk, which is an estimate of the dollar size of the loss that a firm will exceed only some specific percent of the time over a specific period of time. Banks are subject to minimum reserve requirements. Their ratios of various liquidities to their central bank reserves must be above the minimums. The ratio of a bank's liquid assets to certain liabilities is called the liquid asset requirement. The performance of financial companies that lend funds is often summarized as the net interest margin, which is simply interest income divided by the firm's interest-earning assets. Credit analysis is based on many of the ratios that we have already covered in this review. In assessing a company's ability to service and repay its debt, analysts use interest coverage ratios calculated with EBIT or EBITDA, return on capital, and debt-to-asset ratios. Other ratios focus on various measures of cash flow to total debt. Ratios have been used to analyze and predict firm bankruptcies. Edward I. Altman developed a Z-score that is useful in predicting firm bankruptcies where a low score indicates high probability of failure. The predictive model was based on a firm's working capital to assets, retained earnings to assets, EBIT to assets, market to book value of a share of stock, and revenues to assets. The next LOS requires us to explain the requirements for segment reporting and calculate and interpret segment ratios. Segment analysis can also be performed using ratios. A basic segment is a portion of a larger company that accounts for more than 10% of the company's revenues or assets and is distinguishable from the company's other lines of business in terms of the risk and return characteristics of the segment. Geographic segments are also identified when they meet the size criterion just mentioned, and the geographic unit has a business environment that is different from that of other segments or the remainder of the company's business. Both U.S. GAAP and IFRS require companies to report segment data, but the required disclosure items are only a subset of the required disclosures for the company as a whole. Nonetheless, an analyst can prepare a more detailed analysis and forecast by examining the performance of business or geographic segments separately. Segment profit margins, asset utilization or turnover, and return on assets can be very useful in gaining a clear picture of a firm's overall operations. For forecasting, growth rates of segment revenues and profits can be used to estimate future sales and profits and to determine the changes in company characteristics over time. The last LOS for this topic review is to describe how ratio analysis and other techniques can be used to model and forecast earnings. Ratio analysis can be used in preparing pro forma financial statements that provide estimates of financial statement items for one or more future periods. The preparation of pro forma financial statements and related forecasts is covered in some detail in the study session on corporate finance. Here, some examples will suffice. A forecast of financial results that begins with an estimate of a firm's next period revenues might use the most recent cost of goods sold, or an average of cost of goods sold from a common size income statement. On a common size income statement, cost of goods sold is calculated as a percentage of revenue. If the analyst has no reason to believe that cost of goods sold in relation to sales will change for the next period, the cost of goods sold percentage from a common size income statement can be used in constructing a pro forma income statement for the next period based on the estimate of sales. Similarly, the analyst may believe that certain ratios will remain the same or change in one direction or the other for the next period. In the absence of any information indicating a change, an analyst may choose to incorporate the operating profit margin from the prior period into a pro forma income statement for the next period. Beginning with an estimate of next period sales, the estimated operating profit margin can be used to forecast operating profits for the next period. Rather than point estimates of sales and net and operating margins, the analyst may examine possible changes in order to create a range of possible values for the key financial variables. Three methods of examining the variability of financial outcomes around point estimates are sensitivity analysis, scenario analysis, and simulation. Sensitivity analysis is based on what-if questions, such as, what will be the effect on net income if sales increase by 3% rather than the estimated 5%? Scenario analysis is based on specific scenarios, a specific set of outcomes for key variables, and will also yield a range of values for financial statement items. Simulation is a technique in which probability distributions for key variables are selected, and a computer is used to generate a distribution of values for outcomes based on repeated random selection of values for the key variables.